Hello and welcome to the Every Other Saturday podcast for a brand new episode this week, where the massive old Firm game on Sunday ended in a draw, three each. It was a game of really two halves, to be honest. I don't think you can play worse in the first half and then obviously pull out the bag in the second half to come up with a draw. We'll talk about thoughts on the game, team selection, tactics, how Celtic obviously basically bullied us in that first half, the goals, the penalty calls, everything. We'll talk about it. It's kind of been obviously talked about in depth anyway, but till now we had to recover through watching WrestleMania, so this is the only time that was plausible to do this. If you do enjoy the podcast, as always, you could like, subscribe and share. It's always very much appreciated. So going on to the old Firm game then. Obviously, we talked at length yesterday, last week, sorry. We talked at length when I'd done the podcast with the lads as well, in depth about team and how this is probably the biggest Old Firm game in nearly 10 years for the, just how big it is in the league for points and stuff and the bragging rights as well. And we completely shat the bed in the first half. If there was a word for like worse than shit in the bed, that was what we did. I mean, for a way to kill the crowd after the crowd's up for it, cheering the team on, trying to get a massive victory at Ibrox to push us in front and give us real breathing room at the top of the table. Within 20 seconds, that was all just absolutely shot to pieces. Watching it from my view in the stadium, I thought Tavernier actually had just backpassed it to Butland too hard, and he just passed it into his net. But obviously, he's tried to clear it. Maida's obviously caught up with him. He's touched it in, it's went in with the power by Jack Butland. I think that is possibly the worst start to a game I've seen at Ibrox since I've actually been going.
I kind of think of 2 minutes after I've made, but that's definitely it's up there, mate. I mean, obviously, when the team sheet came out as well, that was the first sign to me. You know, I was like, right, we're in for a difficult game here, because, as I say all the time, how is Scott Rice still at Rangers? I don't understand it. And it was, as you say, biggest Old Firm game in a very long time. And that's the kind of guy that's starting the game over. Obviously, some of the quality we had on the bench there that did come on eventually. But come on now. We've both obviously been talking about it. I generally feel like the manager did overthink the team. I think he kind of got the team wrong there. I just think you play your best team in these kind of games. Scott Rice definitely knowing the best team. But as you say, start. Just shot a bed completely. Celtic were just, I mean, credit to Celtic. They were all over us. They knew it today. And we couldn't cope with it, couldn't handle it. Especially Tavernier. Maeda, my God. He's in that boy's, he's in his head, man. Anything he was doing, he was on him. Straight away, like a hawk, he was on him. The worst start to this game.
Nah, pretty much. And then as you obviously mentioned, the team going into it, there was the debate at left back. Is it going to be Sterling, Barisic? Is Yilmaz going to make it? Unfortunately, Yilmaz didn't make it. Hopefully, his injury isn't too bad that he's going to be out for longer than maybe the next game. I don't expect if this game goes ahead at Dundee tomorrow that Yilmaz would even play anyway. But hopefully for that game of the weekend, you would hope to see Yilmaz back in contention. There was also the question marks over the front four. I mean, Scott Wright didn't even enter my mind to start this game. Like, he never even, like, it was McCausland. It was either playing Lawrence over there with Cantwell in the middle. It was Sima. It was Matondo. It was never Scott Wright that I would have thought it would start this game. And looking at that when I was going into the game, I couldn't understand why. I can't understand why Scott Wright continues to start games. And it's, again, half the time I don't think it's the fault of Scott Wright. I mean, the manager is still picking him to play, and I don't understand that from his point of view either. Lawrence, I think, going into the game, we've seen Cantwell in Old Firm games get really riled up and become really emotional in the game. But that was what was lacking for our first half. It was somebody like that, somebody that would get involved and make Celtic kind of uncomfortable on the ball. And Tom Lawrence, I feel, looked miles beyond the pace that is expected in a game like this. I mean, some of the passes he's trying to play, and it was just an all-round stinker for Tom Lawrence, even when he did come out for the second half as well. Fabio Silva obviously wins us that penalty, which is what the debate has been for 2 days straight. even though there's been bigger calls in the game to be made than a penalty, which is very clearly a penalty. And it's just unbelievable the outrage in this country. We pundits and media, it's an absolute embarrassment. We're watching a game where the two top teams in the country are going for the league title, play out in a mental game, three each, goals in the last minute, Celtic coming to Ibrox and going 2-0 up against the runny the game, basically, with no fans having to come to Ibrox and really play. With nobody supporting them from behind the scenes. And all we want to talk about is referees and penalty decisions. Rabih Matondo's goal, for instance, one of the best goals you'll see this weekend. Rangers fight to get back into the game. Celtic then run up on the other end of the pitch and score. Like, why are we not talking about the big action points in the game from a football standpoint? Why are we talking about Fabio Silva apparently clearly diving for a penalty when Alistair Johnson clearly kicks his thigh? The referee, in my opinion, obviously Fabio Silva didn't do himself any favours with the theatrics he
No.
was showing throughout the game. But for the referee, he not even within a split second, he was over giving him a yellow card for diving. He didn't even think about what he just saw. And then obviously goes to VAR, reviews it. It's a penalty. I don't feel like in the current climate, again, we've talked about it near enough every single podcast, in the current climate of football in Scotland, how you can say that's not a penalty is beyond me. The big talking point for me in the whole game is the fact that the Iwata Tom Lawrence decision. I mean, there is like 30 seconds plus a play that actually happens between Tom Lawrence having a 50-50 with Iwata to win the ball back, where John Beaton's standing right in front of him and doesn't give a foul, to us going and putting the ball to back in the net for two each, and then they're pulling it back for a foul. What is the point in celebrating goals anymore? Because you look at the celebration for everybody at that point. If that goal had stood, we would have beat Celtic, because that came from nowhere. That reaction after the stinking performance we saw in the first half really did come out of nowhere. And the fact that we were two each at that point within what 55 minutes into the game was huge. And I do feel like the momentum we would have got for that, we would have then went on and won the game. But again, referees and VAR get involved and pull that back. I just feel like I don't know if that is in the rule book, if depending on how many fucking phases I play, how many Celtic players touch the ball within that time. I've not actually looked back at it too heavily to actually look at all the details there, but I do feel like if we're doing that, I just feel like what's the point anymore?
Not even that, mate. When Beaton goes to obviously rule to go out, he points to the centre. So most of you think it's a goal. He's give the goal. Do you know what I mean? So it tells you, boy, clearly didn't know what he's doing. I said, as we were talking about, obviously, I just think you get a referee from outside the country, somebody that's got obviously no allegiance to any of the sides whatsoever. Nobody that knows it, and just get a referee from anywhere in the world. Obviously, it's a good standard of refereeing, but bring them in because, as you say,
Aye.
we're talking about a fantastic game here. You know what I mean? They had absolutely sensational goal for Rabih Matondo, but we're talking about a clear and obvious penalty not being a penalty. And then you're talking about the refereeing performance. I mean, for me, Fabio, as you say, with some of the theatrics, I can't be having that. I'm not a fan of that personally. I know it's a kind of way Portuguese players kind of do their thing, but I'm not a fan of it. And that's where the referee does question and go, do you know what? It's not a penalty because of what he's been doing previously in the game, but it is a penalty. There's contact there 100%. Overall, I thought the refereeing performance wasn't the best. I personally would have, I did, I seen nothing wrong with obviously the second goal we scored to get ruled out. As you say, a 50-50. We could run
Yeah,
up
it
the park.
literally happens all over the pitch all the time.
Exactly. And at that point, I mean, massively turned the tide of the game. Do you know what I mean? But I felt, as I say, when he was rolling it out, he pointed at the centre. That's usually means it's a goal. Do you know what I mean? So I thought the guy had no real idea what he was doing. As I say, we're sitting here again. We're talking about these kind of things because people kind of just get over the fact that it is an actual penalty. As I say,
I
Fabio.
think again the deflection for Celtic basically bottling a 2-goal lead at half time, going on to go up 3-2 with the celebrations they had in the dugout, to then obviously concede really late on. That's the deflection. It's nobody wants to talk about Celtic absolutely shitting the bed in the second half like we did in the first. It's oh, referees are against us, and that's why Rangers got back in the game.
Any excuse not to talk about, as you say, their team letting it go. But as I say, if second half we came out, mate, and we had the right proper go at it. You would just wish that some of, as I say, some of the players that came on the second half started the game. I really don't understand the debate people were having with Tom Lawrence and Canwell, who starts out of the two. And for me, you play Canwell, you're on about. Obviously, can get involved in a silly aspect of the game, but his quality overround, you just have to start a player like that. And maybe you put Carmel out wide and you had Lawrence in the middle. But then, but Scott Wright playing this game for me was, I just thought, as you say, another massive game for us. And this guy started. I just don't understand how.
No, the only reason I understand Scott Wright starting games is if we have nobody fit in that position, to be honest. That's it. Scott
We're
Wright,
playing for the Scottish Cup, aye. You know what I mean? That's
as we've seen all season, Scott Wright isn't fit to start games and for Rangers. And it's obviously not all on him for that first half, but I do feel like going into that game, I was much less confident having Scott Wright in that pitch than I was anybody else because I knew he was getting hooked at half time. It's been a common theme around every single time he started. He's got subbed at half time, and that was the exact same there. But going through the team then, obviously, Jack Butland had his
big eyes on him.
England spectator, Gareth Southgate, obviously came to the game and watched him. I do feel with the first goal, we had absolutely no idea what was actually going on there. I don't feel like he's in any fault for that goal whatsoever. But then after that, great kind of one-on-one save with Maeda. Great save for the header for Matt O'Riley. I do feel like his distribution at times though was a bit suspect, but I don't know if that was the ball he was getting back to him. Half the time it looked like he was trying to do his best with it, but I do feel his distribution was kind of poor. In parts of the game, but he came up trumps again with a couple of really big saves. The one we had Ameda for 3-2 to Celtic, I do feel like he could maybe do a bit better with that one. It seems like the ball was just kind of went in with ease. Fajita, I know he's put good power into it, but I think Butland should be doing a lot better for that angle for me anyway.
No, I would agree. I would 100% agree with you. I thought his distribution wasn't the best, but some of the passes he was getting back to him, whatever he were, weren't the best. But I made some massive saves in the first half, and I would say he has to do a bit better with that one there. But I mean, you're going on to the next boy here. I mean, we love him, but Jesus Christ, another game where he's, as you say, shat to bed for the
Aye,
first for the
for the first 20 seconds,
first
literally
20.
ruined every atmosphere in the crowd.
It was an absolute stinker for Tavernier. Obviously, I've did a stinker first half, but yeah, again, I'm looking at him and his best mate Conor Gouldson, and yet again, I feel like they just both let us down there again. I mean, obviously, get on to Gouldson, but just obviously for Tavernier, I just think Maeda's in his head, man. Is anything he does, the boy's on him straight away. It just feels like he can't cope, he can't handle a bit. Aye, Sir Tavernier had an absolute stinker, man.
And then that's the situation I was talking about, obviously, last week. Like, you would have been do John Sterling in place of Scott Wright if Yilmaz is fit makes a whole lot of difference because that's basically two defensive-minded players playing on the same side, going to double up on him. And I feel like that would, again, limit Maeda and get Tavernier a bit more involved going further forward. But aye, Tavernier, I mean, you'd struggle to find a really like worse performance in the first half of your captain than that. That was absolutely diabolical in every aspect of the game. He couldn't pass the ball, he couldn't get the ball at his feet. Much like everybody else, he was giving away about the ball at every opportunity. Gives away that daft goal as well, and it's just it's criminal for a guy. Again, you look at him and you respect everything that he's done, but then when it comes to these games, it's just like what
Well,
as he is a
listen,
footballer.
I was saying it all day. I'd rather take wins in this game and trophies over being the highest goal scorer in Britain. It's a fantastic achievement. I'm no getting any of them in that kind of sense, but just then he turned up again in these games, man.
He obviously done well in the second half to put the penalty away as he did because I mean having that bad a first half that plays
100%.
into your mind. He's missed these last two penalties as well. I was pretty nervous, holding my breath for him to slot away that one, but he done it well and obviously got us back in the game and the momentum built for then. But I thought he had a really really poor first half. So did Conor Goldson, but I mean the full defence just we don't. We just put ourselves under pressure. It's literally just all our own doing. Connor Goldson's distribution was absolutely shocking. His defending was weak again. I mean, he gives away a penalty, and it's been coming for Goldson. I don't know why he just flaps about with his arms like, as if he's never going to get a penalty against him for a handball. We've seen it given all season, and it's a penalty all day long. And it has to be Connor Goldson's last season for me as a permanent fixture in this Rangers team. I know he's a good player and what he's done and all that, but I'm looking for fresh players in that position. I'm sick and tired of the players that have been here for ages not being able to stand up in this fixture.
That's the thing, as I said last week. How do you not go out here and give it everything you've got? You know what I mean? Yet again, we only turned up for a half, but I'm in agreement with you when it comes to Connor Goldson. As his last season as a starter for us, too many times Connor Goldson for me has let us down, and I just don't understand how he's in there flapping his arms about like that. First off, I mean, you find yourself, obviously, he gives away the penalty, but man, there's a situation where, do you know what I mean, he elbows somebody in the head, there's another penalty again away. I mean, he's coming in with the elbow real high like that. I don't understand what he's doing for that, but aye, shocking yet again for Connor Goldson.
Yeah, he was really bad, and I think we obviously have prided ourselves on not losing too many goals under Clermont so far. But I think in the recent maybe 2 months, the goals that we've lost, whether it be we going to lose the game or not, are some of the worst goals that we've conceded as a collective for a long time. And I feel like Connor Goldson and John Souter are at fault for large parts of them, but. Souter, I feel we had a decent second half showing. Again, similar to Goldson, I feel like the two of them were just caught in the headlights. Every single time they get the ball, they were absolutely shite scared. Tried to hit it long. 9 times out of 10, hit it out of the park. And Celtic were obviously comfortable with him having the ball. Sterling, I thought, you can never fault Sterling's kind of effort to anything. I think even in that first half, he did try to drive, and I just don't think he had anything going with Fabio Silva on the left-hand side. I don't feel like that worked at all. In the second half, though, it was a battling performance for Sterling. Obviously, he went down injured and played on. I think he was absolutely fantastic, even bursting forward as well. For me, it's as simple as just find him a position and he'll play it. And I think he done well in the second half. The middle of the park was just an absolute shambles in the first half. O'Reilly, Hatate, and Iwata just wiped the floor clean with the Rangers midfield, and we ease, to be honest, as we obviously already mentioned. Tom Lawrence, I don't know what happened to him in this game. He was really, really poor, picking the wrong decision every single time. He just couldn't handle the pace of the game. And Lundstrom, I thought, had a decent second half. Again, this is going to be a common theme for everybody, but I thought he had a decent second half in terms of his energy, commitment, winning the ball back within his duels with the Celtic players and stuff. When the momentum in the stadium went up, I felt like Lundstrom's game became better. And Diomande, similarly, in the first half, I feel like he just get ran over the top of. And second half, I feel like we saw more of the Diomande that we've seen, obviously since he's joined.
No, I thought he got bullied in the first half, but as you say, Celtic's midfield just absolutely bossed our midfield. They just ran the game, and I thought their players looked a bit more fitter than us in the middle of the park. Lundstrom has for the last couple of games looked a bit like maybe he needs a wee bit of a break, but second half definitely Lundstrom had a better game. Diomande for me, I just obviously it's real first one there, real first taste of it. I just then I get the best game. Lawrence as well. I just don't understand how Cantwell didn't start the game for me over Tom Lawrence. But I mean the midfield obviously second half improves, we get better and more into the game, but I mean, we're going to come on here now. Fabio Silva, I mean, I can't deal with his whole rolling about tactics that he does. I don't rate that at all, man. I think there's a player there, but see all that kind of extra stuff he does as well. It just puts you right off him for me. There's no need to be rolling about half the time the way he does. Just throws himself at the flare and looking to just get people booked and all that. Like, obviously for a penalty, it is a clear penalty. There's no disputing it for me. But you're doing that throughout the game, do you know what I mean? You're not really, as you say, Stirling's not really getting an option down that left-hand side, not really, because he's not really looking to play, he's just looking to throw himself in the flare.
I think a lot of the time he was trying to kind of cut inside as well. Alistair Johnson was taking him infield instead of having him obviously kind of out wider. I felt like that kind of limited what we could do down that side. And obviously, as you say, Silva didn't help himself with the kind of theatrics he was getting involved with, but obviously done well to turn Johnson for the penalty. I thought he was actually going to get a shot away, but ended up winning the penalty that way. And again, I think the level kind of went up a wee bit for Silva in the second half, but I don't feel like he had, again, one of his best games ever. The thing is with Silva, as you say, there is a good player there. He has obviously got talent, but I think for the games that we've got to be coming up by, we need to see the quality more than the antics more often. But I do feel like that's the first time I've really saw it for Silva. Like in a game like that, I feel like he did try to kind of play up to the fans in a way, and try and obviously get players booked and stuff like that. It's not a good sight whatsoever for our team, but he needs to focus obviously more on his football for the rest of the season. And then obviously we talked about Scott Wright. There's no point in talking about him because Abdelhassima came on and immediately the level went up. I mean, immediately Tavernier's got somebody to pass to and chase to and trust on that side, where he can obviously get a ball in with quality. He can bring other players into play on the edge of the box, and it's night and day. Abdelhassima's absolutely fantastic. I'm just really excited to have him back now for the rest of the season. Obviously, he gets his goal as well in an important time, and that's something you can always rely on him to do. Always rely on him for a goal, and I really happy he's back. It was a good showing again. You could see he was maybe still a wee bit rusty in terms of some of the balls he would have probably caught a couple of months ago when he was fit, but I think that will come, and I think he'll be obviously a really, really important player for the rest of the season now.
Oh, massive player for the rest of the season. It's just a joy to have him obviously back, especially coming into the run in here. So, I thought another great goal for him as well. Do you know what I mean? Come on, as you say, affected the game. Tavernier had somebody you could actually work with down that side. So, another positive impact for Seymour.
Aye, he was really, really good when he came on. And Cyril Dessers, who led the line, like we all expected. I actually thought he had a decent game. I thought there's times when I watch Dessers just specifically in games like not only this one, but over the course of the season. And sometimes I just feel like he doesn't know what he's actually going to do. Similarly, when he's in front of goal and he doesn't know what to do, like there's balls coming in high to them and sometimes he misjudges them, or he's just not even in flight with the ball at all, and he looks easy to defend against in that way. But when he does win the ball, when he does get something kind of on the ball, he's a hard guy to kind of shake off for the press. I felt like he was the only one in the first half anyway that kind of was trying to chase down Celtic's backline and Joe Hart to force them into errors. I felt like we were then easy to kind of play through in the first half that way, but in the second half, I thought Dessers put in a good shift up front. He was really, really unlucky, and he was robbed of that goal that he should have got, which would have been obviously scenes for him. And I'm just really, really annoyed that he didn't get that one over, because it could have been huge for him. When you think about where he's kind of came through all this season, I think it could have been a big goal for him. But I thought he had a decent game leading the line, to be honest. And he again, even in the last kick of the ball, he had one that flashed by the post. So,
He's unlucky with
aye,
that.
he was
He's
unlucky.
unlucky. He was unlucky with that. No, I just echo everything you say there, mate. You know what I mean? It would have been chills, as The Rock would say, when you know what I mean, if he's got that goal there, you know what I mean? Everybody else going mental in the corner, he's got a flag in his hand, but wasn't it to be? I thought he did well again. As you say, I'm lucky with that chance there right at the end. And I started another positive game for Dessers.
No, and that's what we need to kind of see. We just need to see, obviously, that a guy that we can rely on up front that will put goals in the back of the net for what's going to be, what is it, six games we've got left now, seven games with a game in hand, I think. I think it's five, six or seven games anyway, and they're all going to be as equally as important as each other now, because we've left ourselves in a position where we need to win every game this season and basically take something for the Celtic Park game to win the league. Obviously, that sounds simple on paper, but I think at this part of the season, going away to Dundee, going away to Ross County isn't as kind of plain sailing as it is when you go there at the start of the season. So, I need to really roll up our sleeves and get more of that second half performance, because whatever that was in the first half, that can go anytime. That was just, I can't believe that's what we served up in that first half of that game. And I do think going on to the rest of it, I think Clermont did overthink the game plan. I feel like he tried to kind of tactically maybe play some players that shouldn't have played over some of his best players, and I feel like that's something we can't make the mistake in again. We were lucky to get out of jail with the three each in the 93rd minute for Matondo. But aye, that can't happen anymore. And going to Celtic Park, I'm already concerned with if we're at Ibrox and serving up that pressure, we cannot kind of comprehend and can't get it under control. It's going to be dialed up, obviously, when we go to this next Old Firm game, obviously coming up. So aye, we get out of jail, we get a three each draw. It felt good at the time. Obviously, to get not get beaten, obviously pick up a point, because I feel like if we did get beat, it was Celtic's league to lose at that point. But obviously, Rabbi Matondo coming on and affecting the game like I would want it me, out in the left-hand side, cutting in, absolutely fantastic goal. And he saves everybody's bacon at the end of the day, and we kind of go into this game now at Wednesday, and we'll be hopefully looking to go 2 points ahead again. Obviously, this game is just, since the game got postponed near enough a month ago, Dundee's pitch is still in the same state. I mean, Motherwell played on it the other day and obviously then ended up winning the game, but just looking at the state, it should never be that situation for a top flight Scottish team anyway. But the last time we went up there, obviously it was 5-0. Sam Lammers scoring his one and only.
A man that's in form, Sam Lammers.
Aye, Sam Lammers, who, again, looking at him now, I actually do understand what he's talking about. He never played as a striker for Rangers. For some reason, he was always a midfielder for Rangers and scored a couple of goals here and there. Obviously, missed a good few chances along the way as well, and he's obviously doing well for Utrecht. So if we can get as much of that feedback as we paid for him, he can obviously go. But I do feel kind of, I get his points. He was never really tried as a forward, and nah, I get what he's saying there. But aye, obviously this game is in jeopardy still. The game is obviously tomorrow night, 8 o'clock kickoff up there. The pitch is still in the same state. I mean, if you look at the weather outside, it's nasty. If you look at the weather in Dundee, it's to rain pretty much for the day and tomorrow completely. I think there is a huge question mark if this game even goes on. Listening to one of the Dundee spokesmen and their board on Sky Sports this morning, he says they've done everything they can. The only contingency plans if the game doesn't go on is that it will be moved to next week. There won't be any kind of forfeiting involved. There won't be it played in a neutral venue or anything. It's literally, it'll probably be a postponement again. It'll be played next week. That's the only way it can possibly happen, really. But then again, if we get to that point next week and it gets postponed and we still can't play the game, then I don't know what's going to happen. I think the SPFL will have to step in on this and really kind of get Dundee's kind of check in order, really. Rangers are there and available to play the game. And if we can't get it played again, it will be an absolute shambles for everybody. But if we do play the game tomorrow, the team that I think should play this game is exactly as on the screen, I think. Connor Goldson and they're going to start. Suter will start alongside him. I think Sterling again will start at left back. I was kind of questioning if Barisic will come in for this one, but I don't feel that if Barisic wasn't selected for an Old Firm game and that's his position and there's no left backs available, he's not going to play this one either. I think Mohamed Diomande and John Lundstram will still stay in the middle of the park. I think, again, Nico Raskin wasn't even on the bench the other day. I think that kind of speaks volumes of where he is at as a Rangers player at the moment. Obviously, Kieran Dowell came on, and Kieran Dowell's not played. I think he's only played one game this whole year so far. He's been out injured, and it's been unfortunate because I think Kieran Dowell's a really tidy looking player. I think he really comes on, and I think he gives you something every single time. Obviously, for their goal, the third one the other day, he could have done a lot more to get back and kind of win the ball off Bernardo, but I think having a guy like Dowell involved, hopefully for the rest of the season as well, is going to be a nice addition to the team. And I think it's time you just start Matondo, Cantwell, and Seymour all together. I don't
Aye.
understand why we would try and jeopardise not taking care of this game as quick as possible, than having it going into the second half and trying to obviously force a winner just play your best players in their best positions and hopefully get the job done. It's obviously going to be a tough ask because of the pitch, because Dundee, again, they are a good team. They're well drilled this season. They're obviously hoping to get in top six themselves. So it'll be a big game for them. But it's just simple as just win the game. I don't care how it's done. I don't care if it's, again, another penalty decision that gets talked about for 2 years straight. Just win the game. And
Simple as that.
then, aye.
Just simple as that, mate. Just go out and win the game. I mean, yet again, it'll be an embarrassment to the league if this game can't go ahead. I really, the park is obviously, we've seen the images for the Motherwell game and that. The park's obviously absolutely not the best at all, but stingy. If it can get played, it can just play it. I'd be playing it in a McDonald's car park if I could as well. That'd be an option I'd look at. No, just as you say, go out with the best team possible, get the points on the board, and then obviously on to Ross County.
Nah, which will be again equally as hard as Dundee is going to be. I think we obviously will be guaranteed to be playing that game at the end of the week anyway, but it'd be nice to have a game in the middle of it to kind of take our mind off the old firm and everything that happened within that game and just hopefully get back to winning ways again and really put ourselves on top. Again, it's all psychological. You need any kind of mental leverage you get in a title race like this, especially with the two teams that are involved. I mean, it was absolute chaos
Incredible.
with the game, but if you get that mental edge, you win in the game on Wednesday and going ahead against Celtic, obviously have it all to do on the Saturday. So I think any way we can get an advantage at this point in the season is welcomed. Let's just hope that game goes on and let's hope we've got a full bill of health and nobody's injured obviously for the weekend. But we've got that press conference coming up. I think it's actually ongoing with Philippe Clement at the moment, so we'll obviously see what happens on that. But aye, that was kind of all I wanted to cover the day. I think we've covered most
Back
of the
to
stuff.
the team, obviously for the game as well. I could maybe see taking Suter out and putting Balogun in. Obviously, Suter took that knock on the head as well, so you don't know
Could
about
I
that.
think it could be a valid reason. I think
Okay.
Suter again, I think he preferred Balogun up there last time.
Personally, I feel more safe with Balogun at the back there. I prefer Goldson and Leon Balogun together than I do Suter and Goldson. I also think Suter and Goldson have been all right together, but the two of them have got mistakes in them. We've obviously seen that, but I prefer maybe Balogun's an option for this game as well. But see, just to go on and hang me as well, asking what's going on with him. That's what I want to know. What's you know, this is a guy that was at the time he came in, it was a massive signing, and then he's getting all the talk about how one day he wants to play in the Premier League, and now he can't even get in the team. So
I
it
just
also
think
shows a
he's a really limited midfielder. I think he just doesn't suit what we're doing in the middle of the park. I think more Mohamed Diomandis will be purchased than Nico Raskins for Rangers in the summer. Let's be honest. And I think we'll see if he can kind of make a comeback in this Rangers team. But I don't feel like he's gonna kind of fancied by Clement. And just looking at the Twitter updates there as well, Philippe Clement has confirmed that Ridvan is still missing. Not long term, but he's a matter of days away for fitness, and it's not weeks, so he'll be back in Sunday definitely. I would think Yilmaz, so that's obviously a nice welcome boost for everybody.
the search for Hans Buller continues. We'll need to find him. Return him home safely.
But that's been the podcast today. We've talked about obviously the old firm game. We could have went again more in depth and about everything that happened in that game and looked at specific points in the game, but. As I say, it's Tuesday. I'm looking forward to this Dundee game now and trying to get that game won. So, aye, if you do enjoy the podcast, always if you could like, subscribe, and share. And we'll be back next week, hopefully covering two games of football with Rangers involved, but we'll see.